He's tough. He's uncompromising. Plowing in with Terry Wallace.
For Subway, grab a chicken pizziola melt today.
Sometimes you don't want to overdo the intro because you know Terry's just going to come in and go, "Ooshka," and take it to another level. And if you go too high early, then there's nowhere to go. Terry, good afternoon
Hello,
to you.
Hello, Harv. I thought you forgot my name there for a second.
I was pretty aware of your name. Just didn't want to go over the top too early, Terry, because I know you can lift the tempo of the show very quickly.
Well, I'm back in the studio at least this week.
That's helpful.
Well,
although you were good last week.
I did a little bit of the travelling around of these Thursday night games. Now, we will open it up and ask people, do they like Thursday footy, dislike Thursday footy? Where do you sit?
I love it. Yeah? I am all over Thursday night footy. I just think it's the
How do you go training-wise? Because you would train tonight, would
yep,
you?
Yep,
yep. We'll what well, time do you get off the track?
What time's the game start? About 5 minutes before then.
I like it.
No,
match committee, do you?
Match committee, there was always a screen
Boys
in the background.
Boys sit around, have a bit
have
of a bite.
Yeah. Yeah, watching the footy on the screen.
Perfect.
It's a good result for the mood and the morale in the change rooms.
Perfect.
On a Thursday night. Oh, I think it's fantastic. Now, there are obviously limitations because of day breaks for teams. You can't do it all year round. But as a window through the bye period, I think it's perfect.
Yeah, I love it. I must say I love it, and it probably means, in my situation, a little bit more travel, but I would love it even if I wasn't going to the games.
Yep.
Just the fact that you can come home, busy doing your work, it's an extra day. To me, Friday is football talk in offices and in
yep.
businesses all over the place. It's the teams, it's people setting up their dream teams or super coaches, that sort of stuff. It's how's your side going to go over the weekend. So to already have a game to add to that that flavour, I actually think it really works.
Now, there's talk today in one of the articles I read of a 6 to 8 week window for it.
Comfortable.
From a management point of view, from a playing list with day breaks and coming off 5 day breaks and or four sixes in a row, whatever it might be, how difficult is that going to be to get through clubland?
I think it's manageable. I really do think it's manageable this day and age. Look, is it difficult when you do get on those rolls where you have 3 or 4 6 day breaks? Absolutely, it is difficult. It's an awkward time, but what we're finding more at clubland these days is the old Tuesday, Thursday training is gone.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just rehab, getting yourself ready, whatever it is to do to prepare to get yourself up for the next game. That doesn't necessarily mean, that solid Tuesday night training session or the real zippy Thursday night training session. Sometimes it can be just almost a kick around the park if it's been a couple of very short ones in a row. So I think that's manageable, and I think it works.
Is it better than Monday night?
Much better than Monday night. I think it's all done by Monday night. Again, if we're talking about, let's just talk about schools or work or whatever. By Monday, it's all about the ladder. Where's your team? All the results being in. I know the NRL do it, and it works pretty well for them Monday night. But I think let them have their thing. Oh, I think for us, the Thursday seems to work better. And we seem to get better crowds on a Thursday than what we do to Monday
on
games
Monday,
anyway.
Yeah. Well, I think you're starting to wind down Thursday, aren't you, from your jobs? And that's what people tell me in real jobs, Terry. This isn't clearly a real job, what I do. But the real job people tell me that they start to wind down. Thursday's the last day. They'll do a bit of work Friday, get things rolling, ready for the Monday of the weekend of the week next. But really, it's wind down day. For a lot of people, it's wind down day.
And for those lads out there, I'm not saying the lasses mightn't just have a lazy wine anyway, but for a bloke who's got to go to work the next day, a couple of beers on a Thursday sitting down watching the footy is a heck of a lot easier, I would have thought, than starting to have the couple of beers on the Monday night.
Yes, exactly right. Much more sociable. Much better at home too. Tim's in Melton, wants to talk Thursday night footy. G'day, Tim.
How are you guys?
Good, buddy.
Look, just wanted to throw this out there. I heard you saying about, the five and the 6 day break with Thursday night footy. On the flip side of that, you have a short turnaround for a Thursday night footy, but then you have over a week to prepare for your next game.
Yep, spot on. It's a good call, Tim. Very, very good call. I mean, you do. You might have that short lead-up, but then you know that you've knocked it over on a Thursday. There was nothing better, Harv, than playing Friday night football and getting a result on Friday night football and watching everyone else bang and crash for the rest of the weekend.
I know.
Have all those chats and the pats on the back and everything that goes with Friday night footy. Not so flash when you lost.
No, you've got to get the result first up, Terry.
But you've got more time to get your body right, as Tim's sort of saying, from a Thursday, get a result. Imagine Collingwood boys, if they win tonight, they come off the bye, You get in there, crash and bang, and win. I know Goss thinks they're a certainty. I'm not quite sure about that. But to get a result and then know, and I haven't looked at when they're playing next week, but let's say it's a...
It's Friday night.
It's Friday night.
Against the Hawks.
Yeah, well, you've got 8 days to get yourself back and ready for the next battle. It's perfect.
Thank you, Tim, for your call. Andrew in Frankston is next up. G'day, Andrew.
Hello, boys. How are you going?
Good.
Good, Plough. I hope to see you up at the Mulwala Ski Club next time I'm playing, mate, okay?
Will certainly happen in the off-season.
Right, mate. Hey, listen, Thursday night footy, sensational. And even Monday night footy would be fantastic as well. But, Terry, I've got to pull you up on one thing.
Righto, far away.
You reckon it might be a little bit difficult for people to sit down and have a beer on a Monday? Any day ending in Y, my friend.
Any day's a good day for a frothy. Andrew.
Like the attitude, Andrew. Now, I'm very happy with the attitude. All I'm sort of suggesting is that I think you would have more takers. Andrew, you might be a taker on any particular day, but I think you'd have more people sort of sit there and go, footy's on. Yeah, will the bride be happy? Yeah, let's go. Only one day of work to go. Okay, if I wake up and it's a bit scratchy, that's okay.
It's all about the bride, let's be honest. Andrew is in Frankston. And Kelly is in Coldstream. G'day, Kelly.
Hey, how you going?
Good.
Hey, Kel.
I just want to give a bit of a plug for Chris Tarrant playing at Coldstream this weekend.
Absolutely.
Oh,
go for it, Kel.
Is he?
Yeah, I've got Chris Tarrant training down tonight with the boys. And then got the big clash on Saturday versus Nutterwadding.
So where's the game on? What time start, Kelly?
2 p.m. start on Saturday at Coldstream Football Club.
Beautiful. And Coldstream and Nana, big rivalry, that one.
I can tell you one thing. Done a little bit of work with Chris over periods of time. Did some in the pre-season. He's still in ripping nick.
I saw a photo of him last week somewhere on
ripping
social media.
Nick.
He was playing for Seymour or King Lake or somewhere around there. I don't know. It's up there somewhere. He looked in terrific order. Cannons were still looking canning-y.
He was one of those that, you know, when you're sort of there at the function and you're getting the photo taken, you make sure you just gravitate to the other side of the photos.
If you're Pies fans, Dockers fans too, of course, go and see Taz at Coldstream this week and you've got some time. Richard's in Box Hill. G'day, Richard.
Yeah, boys, I just want to say I love Thursday night footy. I love watching it on TV. I don't know whether or not I would have gone, though. I'm a Hawks supporter. It seems to work really well in Adelaide. They're getting great crowds, but yep. I don't know if I would have gone to the game on Thursday night, but I did enjoy sitting at home and watching it.
Well, that's spot on, Richard, and I think that's what the AFL have seen, that as special events, it seems to be working better interstate than what it is in Melbourne, and so that they've gravitated it away. I think what the four games we've got, two Adelaide, and they're the bookends, so the first and the last are Adelaide. Obviously, tonight being the second one, being Perth, and then next week it's in Sydney. So, I think that works better, and for whatever purpose or reason, if it's working better interstate, why not?
I'm all for it. Works for me. Thank you, Richard. David's in Moonda. G'day, Dave.
G'day, boys. Just talking about Thursday night and Monday night football. I've got two young kids, and they're both members. It's very difficult with children to try and get to the footy on a Thursday or a Monday night when they have school the next day.
Yeah,
no doubt.
I do understand that, Dave. Are you comfortable with watching it if it's interstate? I mean, I know the same circumstance then occurs in those particular states, but do you like watching it on a Thursday on the box?
Oh, yeah, don't mind watching it at all. Like, I'll watch footy every night of the week. It suits me to, down to a T, but, kids who need to be, in bed sort of 8:30, 9 o'clock for school, no chance at all for them, unfortunately. And when you're paying good money for a membership, and especially when you've got seats and things like at Etihad or the SCG, it makes it very difficult and it's quite expensive.
Yep, I get it. Absolutely. 100% get that. Half, that's why I think that if you're going to do it, to me, interstate, you can go a one-off Sydney. I don't think you can give them two Thursday nights.
Yep.
I think you can go twice to Adelaide.
With both teams?
Both teams. Yep. I think you can go twice to Perth with both teams. I don't think GWS are going to stack up yet with getting a decent enough crowd to the game. But if you pick the right game, perhaps you might be able to put that on as another one. And maybe a one-off Melbourne game.
Yeah,
if you had one side that really wanted to champion it, take it on. If you could pick the right sort of opponent, I think you'd still go okay.
David's point's valid, but if the same teams aren't playing on the Thursday nights, and it's really just that it's an away game, particularly if you're a Victorian supporter.
Correct.
And they're playing the games interstate, they're an away game, you're not going to get to anyway.
Spot on. So absolutely. Yeah. And that's why I think for each supporter base, once and once only. I don't think you can double up with any particular team, but I don't think you need to double up.
That's fair enough. Thanks, Dave. We'll get to Tony on the road before we get to the break. Tone, good afternoon to you.
Yeah, good day, Daniel, Terry. Yeah, look, I'm against it. It's for people who have real jobs, start at 8 o'clock in the morning. My wife starts at 6 o'clock in the morning. Thursday night, Monday night, even Sunday night, it's just another game that we can't go to. And it devalues our membership.
But if who do you barrack for, Tone? Just play with me.
I'm Melbourne, she's Essendon.
Right. So at this stage, just going through the roster, neither of those teams are affected by Thursday night footy, so it doesn't affect your membership this year, though. It may in future, but it doesn't affect your membership this year.
I hear what you say, but I just want to speak in general to discourage it because I don't agree with it for those reasons.
Right, no, fair enough. That's okay. I just wanted to make sure that we were on the same page initially, but that seems to be one of the issues that people have with it, Terry, the effect on membership. That being said, if it's interstate for Victorian supporters that we're effectively talking to here, now we are across the nation through sen.com.au and we love that, but essentially Victorian supporters, for away games, it doesn't really affect your membership.
Well, and the other thing that I would say is from the messages that we've got, the SMS traffic, from the callers that we've got, there's more for that we've seen, and we can only go on what we've seen. There's more for than what's against at this stage. But we're probably not talking about it being an every week scenario. And so therefore, it will only, let's call it a Melbourne-based, because that's where we are, it may only be a couple of teams that have any impact on your membership aspect of it. Yes, you might be on the box on a Thursday night in a away game. Well, that could have been a Saturday twilight, you might have been travelling up there anyway. So I don't think that has that big of an impact on Melbourne membership, the way that it's looking at the moment.
Terry Wallace is with us on a Thursday afternoon. We're talking footy. We're ploughing in with Terry, as we do on a Thursday between 3 and 4 every week on the program. Now, Terry.
Getting a lot of love for Thursday night.
There is a lot of love.
A lot of love for Thursday night.
A lot of love off the SMS machine. Some opposition to it, and that's all right. That's what you'll get. In a large sample size, as we say with Luffy and King, you've got to have a good sample size, Terry.
Well, we've got a good sample size. And I would say that it's going at about 80-20.
Yep, I think it's a fair ratio from what we understand. Now, a couple of weeks ago, you were mad as hell, Terry, about a certain situation.
I was.
In football. And KB had his take on that today.
I was reading today where St Kilda has to toss up between Snyder and Sinclair to bring...
Well, they've done that already.
Okay, Snyder. They've gone with Snyder,
yep,
haven't they?
Yep.
Okay, so Sinclair has to go back onto the rookie list. Surely we've got to a stage, Greg, that if you're on a league list or you're one of the players who's on any list at an AFL club, if you're good enough to actually play and be in the senior side, why shouldn't that player be elevated to play in that side? If Sinclair's good enough to play in the senior side, why can't he play in the senior side? It seems to me that it's odd in 2015 that you have all these bunch of players down at a football club, yet some of them you can't play. Seems to me in this day and age why you've got a player who wants to play senior football, is good enough to play senior football, get more money, by the way, because he'd be playing senior football, can't play. It seems odd to me.
Seems odd to KB. You were mad as hell about it the other week, Terry.
And we got it turned around.
And we got it fixed.
Only for a week or so, but then eventually other players come back onto the main list, and so there were no long-term injuries. And so that's why Jack had to go back onto the rookie list,
yep,
as did Adam Schneider. I think St Kilda have done the right thing. And they've balanced this out pretty well in regards, and I'll get to the rule in a second, but in regards to the decision they made, Adam Schneider, you know, left Sydney, come down to try to support the young kids at St Kilda. He's playing really good football at the moment. May not get, like, he's come off a main list onto a rookie list, may not get another contract. This may be his finish in AFL football. So to support him and sort of say, okay, rather than just playing the kids, we're going to give you the chance to go out in the fashion that you should go out as an AFL player, and a very good AFL player at that, I think that's done the right thing. On the flip side of that, they've re-signed Jack Sinclair so that he knows that he's got a future at the football club.
Yep.
I would suggest that by the end of the season, he will be upgraded from the rookie list onto their main list. So that's right. But I don't always say this with KB, but he was the voice of reason.
The voice of reason.
And we don't always say that with KB. But
I do.
Well, that's nice to support your teammate.
He's my man.
Well, he's sort of my man on a Monday morning as well, but I don't always agree with him all the time. But this time I couldn't agree more. We have a rookie list. Those guys get paid less money, but I don't see the reason why when you walk in, and this is why I was mad as hell the other week.
You were very mad.
When you walk into a footy club and the coach says to you, leave your egos at the door. We're not looking at the number, which, whether it was pick one as Paddy McCartan or you're a rookie, we're going to treat you all the same. If you do all the right things and present yourself the right way, we will select you accordingly. Well, this is a situation where you can't because the rules won't allow it. And everyone sort of says, well, that means it's just an extended list. Well, no, it's not. You can still have your six rookies and they can be paid less so the salary cap doesn't go up. They can remain as they are, but if they're good enough to play, they should be able to play. And this young man is good enough to play, and he's being restricted from playing because there's a rule in place which just looks wrong. And I'm hoping that the AFL is going to have a good look at it at the end of the year, and I don't think it takes much to trick it up to be able to change it to allow the kid to be able to play. They changed their rules marginally back when Jack Sinclair was able to play about five or 6 weeks ago, so where it was a one-for-one basis, and it was Seb Ross. Seb Ross came onto the long term, Jack Sinclair went on, and they finally changed it and sort of said, okay, no, we'll make it if there's one injured player, you can choose who you want to have as your rookie to come on rather than it being specific players. That was a little leniency and a little change. I think the AFL can take that further.
Often it takes a situation like this for everyone to understand how the laws as they're written affect the teams and affect players. So no doubt that when these rules were written, that this wasn't thought of.
The situation
wasn't really planned for. And now it's been highlighted like it has, that there'd be a shift, a pretty common sense shift at the come season's end, I would think.
I'm hoping that that's the case.
You would think so.
I'm hoping that that's the case. But that's not what we come in to speak about today, Huff.
No, what are we coming to speak about, Terry?
We come in to speak about how some teams play a little bit like their coaches used to play, but how I'm seeing more and more often that teams actually, a lot of them, don't play like their coaches played. It's almost like their coach sort of has said, well, you know, I play this way, but I want my team to play a completely different way. And I'll give you a couple of examples. And some of them are good, and some of them are not so good. Now, Paul Roos. Roosy was a brilliant reader of the game.
My word.
So Roosy's greatest couple of abilities were his athleticism, you know, the size, how athletic he was for his size at the time.
Yep.
A key position player who was basically could have played wing, could have played Nellie Ruck Rover, could have played any position on the ground. Roosy basically played his game by just reading the ball better than his opponent. So if his opponent went one direction, Roosy would just sort of go, nah, I think you're heading the wrong way. I'll go the direction that I believe. And more often than not, he would read it better than his direct opponents. Well, that's not the way that Paul Roos's sides play. On the weekend, that was the best that I've seen Melbourne play for a while. And I have a look at Bernie Vince, who's come to the club, who's now playing a really strong defensive starting positions, defensive one-on-one starting position. And we saw him against St Kilda take on David Armitage the other week.
Yep.
Start from his toes and then be able to win the ball off your own merits from there. We see the way he's teaching Jack Viney to play the game. Played on Dane Swan in the Monday game. When we were watching the other Sunday, it was Jack Stephen that he lined up on. Give him an even bigger bite of the cherry on Joel Selwood last week.
Yep.
Off the toes, working that way. That's not how Roosy played the game.
Very
that would
different.
Be the last way that Roosy would. But that's exactly the way that Roosy coached in Sydney and set up that real tough one-on-one style of game. And I saw Melbourne playing for the first time like Sydney. So there's one that's polar opposites to what the coach would sort of see. Then I have a look at Geelong and the way that they've played over the last few years. Now, Chris Scott, to me, was a bull.
No doubt.
Get him around any sort of form of contested ball, stoppage, and more often than not, Scotty would come out the other side with it.
Yep.
his team can't win a contested ball or a stoppage to save themselves. So they play completely the opposite to their coach. Clarko. Clarko was a soldier ant. And no offence, Clarko. But yeah, Clarko was a hard-working, honest type player. His side plays the most neat, skillful style of game, which is a complete opposite.
Contrasting.
So what I'm looking for, very quickly, ring us up. Do you want your team to play with a little bit more of what your coach had? Or perhaps do you want your team to play with a little bit less of what your coach had? Yeah. I think Tiger supporters, they'd like a little bit more Damien Hardwick, just a little bit more added into the mix.
Terry Wallace with us on a Thursday afternoon. Marco and the Ox up after 4 o'clock on the run home. Don't forget Cam Mooney joining the boys off the top. And from 7, we head west to Domain Stadium. Thursday night footy, it's got the big thumbs up from the majority of the halftime audience this afternoon. Frio and Collingwood, Tim Gossage calling the action with Ben Allen and Glenn Jakovich riding shotgun with him tonight on SEN Footy. But we're talking, Terry, about coaches that coach differently to the way they play, whether or not you think it's a good thing or a bad thing for your team.
Well, I think for myself, I think my sides when I coached the Bulldogs were a little bit more like what I played like. We were a little bit more sort of physical.
Confrontational?
I was an inside player, so I thought we had more inside players that played that style of game at the Bulldogs. I thought probably I went for more skill and run at Richmond.
Yeah, the Tigerland.
Which didn't necessarily work as well as what I would have liked it to.
Wow. It's open for debate, Terry.
It is sometimes, isn't it? Just you want something. I mean, you sort of see yourself as a player and you sort of say, well, gee, I would have loved to have been able to do that, those other parts of the game. And so you try to get that into your coaching style to be able to add those other things into your coaching style. But if it ends up being at the expense of the other side, you don't necessarily have a win out of it. Mm. If you can add a dimension, let's call it Nathan Buckley was a brilliant kick of the football and a brilliant user of the ball. If you can add a dimension that he perhaps didn't have as much, and marry the two together, that's perfect. But if you lose the kicking aspect of it, well, you don't necessarily win.
Which the Pies haven't been well known for before this year. They've been much better this year with their disposable foot.
Well, I'm sure Collingwood supporters, and we've had quite a few off the SMS sort of saying, we would love to be able to kick the ball a little bit more like Bucks did.
Well, I think anyone in the game would love to kick the ball like Bucks did.
Hello.
Oh, yeah, me too. Adam's in Geelong. G'day, Adam.
Oh, you're okay. Kevin Bartlett agrees.
Oh, gee whiz, Kevin Bartlett agrees with us. Fantastic news. Adam in Geelong, good afternoon.
G'day, boys. How are we?
Going well.
I reckon it's a really good point that you bring up, Terry, especially with, there's sort of non-negotiables that you think coaches will have when they take sides over. I certainly thought Chris Scott, his main non-negotiable would be contested football and the attack on the football. But I think it's a bit of a personnel thing. But I think since 2011, like, we had that good first year he had, but since then, we just seem to be going for outside players and speedy players because we probably were a little bit slow. But it just, like, I reckon there's a bit of a lack of experience in his coaching group that we're not teaching our players how to play that finals like contested football. It seems to be something that's lacking since our good year.
Adam, and it might turn because it might be just the fact that they're inexperienced through the middle of the ground now where they have had a very solid group. And sometimes that happens. I mean, sometimes you don't actually go out of your way to coach a different way, but all of a sudden your personnel is different.
Yeah.
And that has you sort of working on this. You always work on players' strengths and try to pick up their other areas. And if the strength area, which clearly it's not at Brisbane at the moment and clearly it's not at Geelong at the moment, if it's not contested ball, number one, you've got to try to find personnel, and that's why they would be desperately going for Dangerfield, because that's the number one strength of his game. So you try to find personnel that can do that. You're still trying to work on the strengths of your team, but you're trying to add those other areas in as quickly as possible.
Thank you, Adam. I was going to ask you about that, whether or not it's personnel or philosophy or trying to deal with the trend of the game and trying to find a way to beat that trend and work around that in a different style of play.
Can be all of those three, really. What you've just said then, clearly if you've got a group of bulls, you're going to train them to be tough inside, ornery type players. If that isn't your makeup, if you've got more outsiders, well, you've got to make run and carry. Ken Hinckley, it's caught up with Port Adelaide a little bit, but they took the footy world by storm by playing a very similar style of game to what Ken Hinckley played himself. Ken Hinckley was outside run, read it, be prepared, be brazen enough, brash enough to take the game on.
Yep.
And that's exactly the way that he coached his side. Now it's caught up with him. Is there a plan B? How do they get around a few other things? I mean, that's where they're at. So I think it could be both. And I think he had a group. I don't think he necessarily went there and said, I'm going to have them play like I played. But all of a sudden he saw one of their strengths was that they were fairly quick,
yep,
and that they had enormous endurance within the group. So all of a sudden he went down that path with that personnel.
Thanks, Adam. Gary's in Roxburgh Park. G'day, Gaz.
G'day, Daniel and Terry.
Hey, Gary.
Guys, me being Richmond, I think Hardwick's stuck in the middle. He wants to play his way. You know, that's why he's got Dusty plays the way he does, Steve Morris. Yeah, I don't think we've got enough of those guys. That's why Jakey King was what his love child. But instead of us playing like a crab, I wish we would play more direct like Hardwick. I think we play better when we do. Just not enough soldiers, like you say.
I agree. If I was a Richmond supporter right this minute, that's the one little bit of ingredient that I think that they could really do with.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that they're horrible at it by any stretch, but, I mean, it was a real strength area of Damien Hardwick. It was in your face, take you on.
Oh, word it was.
And he did it brilliantly. I don't really sort of see that in the Tiger side where it sits at the moment. He just mentioned about his love child, Damien's love child being Jakey King.
Yeah.
Got a good little story about Jakey King after the break.
Coming out at 4 o'clock, we're a bit away at the moment, but Ox and Marco not too far away in the run home. Cam Mooney as well. Remember, tonight from 7, we head west for Fremantle and Collingwood. Tim Gossage leading the action there tonight on SEN Footy, Terry.
That'd be a big game.
Yes.
Look, I think Fremantle will win. I heard Goss sort of saying that he thinks that Collingwood can knock them over. They've lost one game, and yeah, they've been a bit flat before the bye, but they've only lost one game for the year. Don't see them dropping two in a row at home.
I don't think so. Oh, I don't think so at this stage.
I would like Brodie Grundy in the Collingwood side if they were going to sort of compete with him, because he was in great form as well.
Yep, no, that's true. That's true. We've been talking coaches, Terry, and the styles of coaches. Let's go through just a couple of other ones off the SMS. Who is this from? Kim. I'd love more James Hurd on the Bombers playing list, Terry. A big tank, good on the air and on the ground, great skills, unquestionable courage. Too much to ask for, question mark?
Well, I would have thought that James kicks goals. And that's what Essendon don't do at the moment. So he could kick it, you know, a bag full himself. And that's what the Bombers need. I think if the Bombers get that part right, I don't think they're going to play finals this year. But the thing that they've got to get right before anything else, you can't be stacking up 7 and 8 goals and expect in this competition to compete. Yep. And sides will start taking you on and freelance a little bit more often, because they know if they hit the scoreboard, you can't.
Yeah, if you can kick 10, you win the game. That'll be enough.
That's scary.
And that's not right. What about this one from Josh in Perth? Hi, gents. Love the show. Good on you, Josh. Would love Terry's opinion on West Coast and Adam Simpson's coaching style. I never really watched Simpson play. Geez, you missed some footy then, Josh. You played 300 games.
and got it 300 times a game in the games that he played. Look, Adam Simpson was a no-frills player. Work hard on the track. Work hard, game day, absolutely put everything on the line for his side. Really smart, read the game very well. I think some of the defensive actions of the sides, you could sort of say, would be of Simo's reading of the game. But I sense more of Simo's style is Hawthorn and Clarko.
Yep.
Very much a kicking game. Their skill level has improved enormously. Yes, their defensive aspects of the game have picked up as well. But you wouldn't have thought that Simo was necessarily the greatest skilled player of all time.
No, I don't think Simo was ever the greatest skilled player. I played under 18s with Simo, and he was a tremendous competitor and a worker, and a good size, and could mark above his head. He took one of the best hangers in Teal Cup.
He just rack it up, getting the ball,
awesome,
too.
Awesome, but I don't think elite skill would be anything you'd categorise Adam Simpson with.
No, I think that's spot on. Now, Jacob King.
Yes, tell me about Jake King.
Well, it was back about a few weeks ago when Carlton were right in the depths of despair. And I don't have an association where I get phone calls from Kingy regularly.
No.
We get on okay. We meet in the media boxes, as you do, and our relationship's fine. But I got a phone call from him, which is unusual. So
unusual.
We started off, as most things do when you haven't spoken to somebody for a while, pleasantries. How's he finding media work, and how's that side of things? I thought, where is this going to? And then all of a sudden he sort of said, oh, look, Plough, I've been watching Carlton play over the last couple of weeks from up in the media box, and I can't believe how poor it's been. No effort, no tackle, just no competitive nature at all. And what I'm actually ringing you for is, I just wondered, did we do that to you, being Richmond? Did we do that to you in the last year? Because if we did do it to you in the last year, I'm just ringing to apologise for it. Which I thought was a classic. And look, I let him off with fine because I sort of said, that's not the case. Second last game, we went over to Freo and won. We were still having a crack. We weren't good enough, and it was my time to go after 5 years. But that certainly wasn't the case, King. At least these guys were getting out there and having a go. He sort of said, couldn't live with myself if we weren't.
He's a good man, Jay King. That's an excellent story.
I just thought it was one that's worth knowing because, I mean, that's good nature of the bloke.
He's an honourable man.
That's why he was Damien Hardwick's favourite.